Welcome back to The Comixologist, episode 400.
The biggest show in history.
Reboot.
400. Who knew we'd get it so far? I don't even think Fantastic Four ever got this far. Maybe it did. Who knows?
And yet here we are.
I actually went into the Comixologist archives this morning.
Yeah?
What'd you find? I had to use my passcode. I had to put my handprint in. I went into the archives. And episode one, like a couple months ago, I went back and renumbered everything into legacy numbering, if you will. And the first episode was October 8th, 2007.
Wow.
And it wasn't even...
I was still in high school at that point. So thank you.
I was just graduating college. No, I don't know what I was doing. The first episode actually wasn't hosted by who was regarded as the very first Comixology podcast host, which is Peter Jaffe, our co-founder. It had a guest host, Joe Ferrara, which I thought was hilarious. I was curious why Peter didn't host that first episode, but I'll have a link to both in the show notes. So super interesting. 2007. You know, time flies.
Maybe I was in college at that point. I don't know.
I think I was long out of college at that point. I'm pretty old. I'm ancient. I had to use my walker to get here to the office. So yeah, we had a big show last week. This week, you know, the goal of the podcast is to help people discover comic books.
That's what we're here for.
Read new books. Yeah. What more do you need?
Nothing. Comics are an amazing, wonderful, wonderful world. I read and reviewed for our Tumblr, Sleepy Hollow number 2 this week. And I was like cross-posting it on all my own like personal social media accounts. Uh-huh. And one of my friends like commented, she's just like, oh, something like this might get me back into comics. I'm like, yes. That's yes, awesome. Good. It should.
How was, before I ask, I tasked you to read all of The Sword.
Yes.
For the end of the show. So we'll get into that at the end of the show.
So excited.
But
we haven't talked about it. This is all fresh. Yeah,
We've been in the room for 10 minutes. And we didn't even talk to each other. Just setting up the equipment. That's all we did. Well, how was Sleepy Hollow?
Sleepy Hollow was delightful. My current comics talent crush, Marguerite Bennett, is writing. And she just gets vernacular dialogue. Whenever I'm reading anything that she wrote, I just feel like these are actual words that actual people would actually say. Whereas for a lot of comic dialogue, sometimes it's just so fantastic and the situations are so incredible that you just can't imagine people saying it. But she's an example of a writer where when she writes, it feels real. It feels like, yeah, this is weird stuff happening. Like, Sleepy Hollow is basically Revolutionary War / apocalypse fan fiction. But it seems believable.
So this is... I've never watched the show. This is based on the TV series?
The show is incredible. The show is worth your time. It's so bonkers that it works. And like, the chemistry that the lead actors have is worth watching. Just that alone.
Did I tell you that on the topic of TV series and comics, I started watching The Flash?
You did. What did you think? Because I'm obsessed.
I thought the first episode was amazing.
Yeah.
Like on a scale of comic book related television series, I thought it was stupendous.
Yeah.
I watched the second episode where it had that great ending with his kind of foster father police officer.
Yep.
I was like, this is great. This is what superhero comic book TV series should be.
Yeah.
I was stunned.
Have you been watching Arrow?
No.
You should totally need to get into Arrow.
I'm curious because the first episode had a little meeting between the two. So I'm away from Arrow. So I assume that the Flash character pre-Flash has been on Arrow. Or has he been on Arrow for two episodes? Did he have the Flash powers? Or had that
happened? Spoilers.
Because they meet on a rooftop.
Yes.
As he's learning to have super speed and they know each other. So I was like, oh, I guess he guessed it on the show at one point. So when he guessed it on Arrow, was he the Flash at that point?
It was more or less an origin story episode to introduce him. Huh. It was like a soft launch of the character.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So did it match up with the official TV version that came later, the one that just watched? It did.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No retconning here.
I thought it was cool, but I felt like it got a little goofy with the like superhero meeting on a rooftop. Like, I don't know if I kind of want that. I still want it to be like grounded in pseudo reality as much as possible.
That's why you'll like Arrow.
Okay. I just remember, I think I watched the first episode. He was doing parkour for like 40 minutes shirtless. Yeah. And I was like, this is going to be a huge hit with everybody. So I really enjoyed that. And I think we have a Flash Digital first series.
We do indeed.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yep. Flash, so if you series, like the show, Arrow series.
What more do you need?
Covered. Got your TV fix right here on comic form.
I mean, this is the only podcast you'll ever need to listen to. Just delete everything else. Wear it once a week. So Sleepy Hollow is good. I read Andrew Jackson Throws a Punch.
Phenomenal book.
There you have it. I don't even need to talk about it anymore.
Keeping in the theme of like American history, slight rewrite, slight revision.
Uh-huh. And Carrie, who works Comixology, she wrote a review on our Tumblr, which if you're not following our Tumblr, every Wednesday we post reviews from comixologists on new books, which I think is great because that's how I discovered this book. And I didn't stumble upon it when I was in the app downloading other stuff. And this one is actually a really cool, originally a print book that won a Mocha Award of Excellence last year.
Yeah, that's where I found it.
And this version of it is a Guided View Native one, so we have some cool transitions, and it's kind of, you know, standard widescreen mode on your tablet or phone. So if you like those kind of books, check it out. And it's just this really quick story about Andrew Jackson getting the accolades from people. I think this is after he was inaugurated president.
Yes.
And he is meeting people, and every time he shakes someone's hand, it like flashes red, like in his head, what he wants to do to these people. As I read it. And it's just a really cool movement from the print version to the digital version. I really loved it. It's super short. It's like 99 cents, but it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Totally worth your time. Fantastic art. If you're an art buff, history buff, Andrew Jackson appreciator.
A lot of buffs in there. Art buff, history buff, Jackson buff, violence buff. This is the book for you. And there's actually... you know, the big part of the story is a bowl of punch in the comic book, and there's actually a recipe for a bowl of punch at the end of the book.
Please drink responsibly.
Sure. Maybe we can have that for the holiday party. Comixology holiday party.
So you say that, but now I'm going to try to make that happen.
Right. Okay. I think we should. But what else? What about you?
I read Lumberjanes, and the issue that came out this week was wrapping up the first arc, and it was... a satisfying conclusion, but it still left me excited to know what happens to the girls at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
coming
can you
soon.
Give me a refresher on Lumberjanes? I still haven't, I think, gone past issue one where that came out.
So
no, you just were appalled instantly.
My look of shock and disgust. Yes. No. So Lumberjanes is a fantastic comic about these girls who are all friends. They're going to summer camp together, and they're fighting monsters, and they're solving mysteries. It's terrific fun, and just the reveals that they have are not reveals that I was expecting in the course of the first story arc, but I liked the direction they were going in, and I... just really enjoy the interactions and the friendships that these girls have, and their camaraderie and how they work as a group. And it's just like, this is a book that I wish I could reach back in time and hand to my own elementary school self and say, this is what life can be.
I wonder if you'd also weep at that moment. So we have like a consecutive weeping episode. Last week you wept while reading She-Hulk, and this time you're time traveling and weeping in front of yourself. I think we need to make that a thing.
Young me would be confused, but I feel like I would also roll with that punch. Time travel punch.
That's another book where I've started to wait until books are out in trade form. Like, that's another book that I'll probably grab in like a collected. I like having that completed story. So I guess maybe soon it'll be that storyline will be collected. I did that with Saga last week when we talked about that.
Right.
Like, I loved grabbing the trades and knowing that I had a good chunk that I can end and be content with.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. What do you want to hear about? Uncanny X-Men or Batman?
Tell me about Batman. We haven't visited Gotham in a while.
We haven't. Batman and Robin 36. Robin Rises. You heard about this guy, Robin, Damien?
Dun.
Have you, what's your familiarity with Batman and Robin last few years? Damien, his son,
as Robin. Oh, you mean the actual book? And not or what the internet
general,
tells me?
In general. Yeah, well, the internet, if you have been searching the internet, Damien is Batman's son, and he became Robin. So he's like 8-10 years old.
He is magnificent.
He's great character.
He's such a brat. He's like the epitomal brat, except he was also trained by the League of Assassins to be like murderous beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got great quips in the books, and he's like Batman's equal, just a young kid. And he's snarky. So 2 years ago, there was a storyline where, unfortunately, spoilers, Robin was killed, this little kid, in front of Batman. So he's been on this journey for the last maybe half a year searching for his body. And he's been trying to bring him back to life. He went through this period of like kind of almost psychosis trying to bring him back from the dead with other kind of characters. Like there's this Frankenstein character that appeared in the Batman and Robin books where people were telling him, like, Bruce, you're kind of getting wacky right now. You can't just bring him back to life.
And wacky for Bruce or wacky, for Batman?
Wacky for both. Okay. As wacky as you can be in a book where an 8-year-old is a superhero and wears a mask and fight crime.
So I was going to say, we all know that Batman really needs help, but...
Sure. He's a crazy person. He needs to be put in prison. Gotham should be boarded off and never gone to again by any human being. That's fact. So... The Robin, his coffin has been stolen and is now being used by this off-world, this other universe, Apocalypse. Darkseid is like a big DC villain. I'm not super familiar with the DC universe, but along with his coffin and body and other mystical items, they're powering this machine that sucks the energy out of planets and brings
Apocalypse?
It, yeah, and brings it to Apocalypse.
Wait, so in the New 52, do the new gods exist?
I believe so. I think Orion showed up in the Wonder Woman series that you haven't read yet.
Okay.
Later. And Darkseid and Darkseid's son are in this. But I'm not super familiar with New Gods.
Have you seen Granny Goodness in the Female Furies at all?
I have not. I have seen that character before, but not in...
Mr. Miracle? Scott Free?
You're just naming names right now. You could be making them up and I don't even know.
I'm going to look into this because I need to know. Because there was... Before the New 52, there was this giant... Death of the New God storyline where mm-hmm. DC just took all of Jack Kirby's fourth world characters and just kind of like destroyed them and tore my heart out in the process because I love Big Barda so much.
Sure.
So much.
I've seen Big Barda on Tumblr a lot.
Yeah.
Various shipping happening on Tumblr with her.
There is only one ship for Big Barda and that is with her husband, Mr. Miracle.
Listen.
Thank you.
You go into Tumblr, you see all kinds of ships. Ships that you may never ever want to see again. So back to Batman and Robin. So now he's on the hunt to get his son back. And my favorite moments in this Batman and Robin series have been moments where Batman gets so angry at someone who's trying to kill his son where he turns into a dad, like a dad that would do anything to save his son. So I thought there's a lot of glorious like splash pages in this book where he confronts someone to try to kill his son. He's like, you dare attempt to hurt my son? And it's like this super dark Batman with his cape like bunched up and his eyes go red. I was like,
wow,
this is BA right now. So this book, he has this really cool bat suit, very reminiscent of Batman Beyond. So he's flying through Apocalypse and he's tasked the other members of the Bat family to watch over Gotham. But they say, you know, that's enough. We're going to go help Bruce. So they put on these kind of cool... pseudo Robin costumes, like they adjust their costumes to make it look like Robin, and they come behind him in Apocalypse to help him find Damian's body.
Which members of the Bat family?
Red Hood, Batgirl, Red Robin.
My heart.
So it's really cool, and I'm super excited. I wish all the issues were out because I can't wait, and I hope it's gonna happen that where they revive Damian, and there's just this moment where Batman and Robin and father and son are back together again, and I'm probably going to lose it when it happens.
Well, conveniently, Damian's mom knows where some Lazarus pits are. So.
Well, yeah, I think that was actually part of the storyline before this. Like, he wanted to bring Damian's body to a Lazarus pit. And if you don't know what that is, Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's
is a villain in Batman's universe where if he dies or is mortally wounded, he goes into this pit and it revives him. And shortly after that, he kind of goes mad and returns to normal. So he's young and vibrant. So Batman wanted to throw him into this Lazarus pit, but apparently you can't throw an already decaying or dead body into the Lazarus pit because they could come back worse and monstrous. So I don't think he's tried it yet.
Huh.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it. The art's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
There you have it. Father and Son. What else would I read? Yeah.
I don't know.
What else? What else have you read?
I really enjoyed the most recent issue of Black Widow.
Hmm.
Anderson Cooper guest starring.
Yeah, what was that? Tell me about this.
So, for fans of Black Widow, either from the comics or from the Avengers movie franchise, I highly recommend the current run of Black Widow. Nathan Edmondson and Phil Noto, the writer and artist respectively, making a fantastic book showing how the Black Widow kind of lives in the gray areas of the Marvel Universe, but her skills are needed by organizations like S.H.I.E.L.D., and so she just keeps doing what she do.
Mm-hmm.
But things that, because she's an Avenger, she's also kind of a public superhero. And not just the spy that, like, is her forte and her skill set. So, in this issue that came out this week, Anderson Cooper did a special 360 report on...
The Black Widow?
On the Black Widow. Wow. And so, you see, like, Natasha's on a mission, and she has no idea that this report is airing. So, what you're seeing is, like, her on the mission spliced with images of... the Avengers watching this special report and trying to figure out how to deal with it, or like her friends or comrades, like they cut to like X-23 in one panel, like watching this report and just like look at, like wrapping her hands because she's in a gym or something. And so you just see like all these quick panels of how, like how people are
like, coping,
reacting to this report, because it's not so much that Anderson Cooper in this comic was saying she's bad or she's good. He was saying we have this information. She's done good things. She's done bad things. Let's talk to some people and see what their opinion is.
I think, isn't there, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a part of the Black Widow character that she has a dark past a la Wolverine that hasn't been revealed yet, and she just doesn't want it out there. So was that part of the report where they just like revealing new things at all?
I don't think they went into specifics from her past. They were talking more about like recent past than past. I know she's ex-KGB assassin, but
Wolverine actually trained her when she was young.
Really?
Yeah, that was part of the origin series that a lot of Wolverine fans maybe didn't like, because it revealed like everything. And one of the storylines was, I think he trained her when she was young.
Huh.
And so she's actually, I think, pretty super old. I think she has like one of those de-aging things. So that's like part of their past. That's how they know each other.
Huh.
Yeah.
There I did not know that.
I'll have to see if I can find that issue and link it in the show notes. But yeah, I thought it's genius. That's like a great publicity push. Let's Anderson Cooper show up in a comic book.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's talked about it on a show and people are buying it and reading for the first time.
He looks good in that comic.
Should we get into our last topic, which is... By the Luna Brothers.
Yes.
I'm so excited to hear you talk about The Sword. Should you give a pitch? Maybe people still haven't read it yet.
Okay. The Sword is about this woman who sees her family brutally murdered in front of her in the first issue, and then finds this basically magical sword in her basement and just goes on this murderous rampage to get vengeance. And it wasn't a book that I probably would have picked up like on my own, but because you highly recommended it to me, I read it, and I'm really glad that I did, because it was such a satisfying read. Like 24 issues of comic book gold here. Yeah.
I loved, so the people that killed the family, or that killed her father and then her family, have known each other for thousands of years. So they have a history together. So each book, each story arc of the book is her going after a member of this family. So I think each story arc is called like Earth, Fire, Air, and Wind maybe, or Water. So each book, she's on the hunt for one of them. And then when she succeeds, she goes after the next one. and I loved how
it's not cut and dry though.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is that like almost every issue had some kind of dramatic reveal or plot twist, but it never felt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It just made you want to keep reading. Like, I cannot imagine having to have waited between a month for these issues.
Oh yeah.
It just would have been the worst.
Yeah, I always come back to the way violence is shown in this book, and it's done so in a way where the characters are shocked that it happened, and just the way it's displayed, like, this is a shocking moment, the way
right.
it just happened. I thought it was really well done how the sword is used in a violent way.
Yeah.
Like, jaws are lopped off, heads, arms, legs. And that was another thing, too.
Everything's fair game.
Everything is. When you hold the sword, it heals you. So she has been in a wheelchair. When she grabs the sword, her legs are used again, can be used again. And when her friend is shot, she gives the sword to her and it heals her. But if you don't hold the sword for an extended amount of time, those wounds come back as real wounds.
Spoilers.
And the ending of the book,
no.
which I won't
no.
divulge, I just thought it was a great nod to that and
no.
how... Maybe we should just
realize how impossible it is to talk about this book without spoiling like all of it.
I know. You should just lay music over everything I just said and, or bleep it out. But I just thought that the way it ended, I thought it was very complete, and I thought it was beautiful, actually, in a way. You don't even want to talk about it. You're too afraid to talk about spoilers.
I am afraid to talk about it because it is worthy. This is a worthy book.
What
Plus.
Did you in a non-spoilery way, what did you think of the last issue?
I was reading it. I was in my room, and then all of a sudden I was like yelling at this comic. there was a lot of yelling.
This was a book. My wife started reading comics. I think I talked from the show, but this was another book that I told her to keep reading. She read the first trade and was kind of on the fence.
Right.
She loved the first issue, but I told her, I was like, just keep reading. You really enjoy it. So it's 24 issues, the whole series. And it's just about her journey, you know, for revenge and just how little nuggets come up out of nowhere and kind of turn the story on its head. Highly recommended.
Very highly recommend.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
I think we have the French version too. So yeah, next week, before I talk about the sales that are going on now, next week is our Black Friday episode.
Crazy.
So I think the show will release on Black Friday. So if you have your podcast app set to download, we'll tell you what the Black Friday sales are right away, immediately, so you know what to click on and get rolling.
If you're stuck at work, you can just get all of the deals
right.
from work.
If you're
out shopping by yourself with friends, with your significant other, just whip out your phone, start getting all those deals.
If you're getting that TV for $200 and people are walking over you to get to it ahead of you, maybe while you're down there, you can buy some comic books.
This is
as well.
Called Black Friday multitasking, people. we're here to help.
So sales that are happening now, Wonder Woman, which we talked about, you wanted to get into, I think, the second trade. You stopped maybe at the first trade?
Yes.
So now that run is on sale right now.
Awesome.
So that's a good time to get into it. We have a huge Viz sale. And also Marvel puts some trades on sale occasionally. So I think we always have like two Marvel trades on sale. So right now, Secret War, the updated one that Brian Michael Bendis did with Gabriel Del Otto on paints, is really well done. I think that's like $3.99, and also Marvel Zombies is $3.99. So a lot of huge sales happening.
Yep.
Huge. No H. That's how big it is. K-Zam. What a show.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll meet back here next week.
Black Friday.
Be prepared.
We'll wear all black when we record. And don't forget to follow our Tumblr to see Kara's review. Carrie's. Who else did some reviews? I think Jonah did a review, maybe. Great reviews.
Yeah.
Great
We're checking out comixology.tumblr.com
#KZAM. See everybody next week.
Bye.